Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Kipas Education International H1 FY24 Results Investor Briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question via the phones, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Steve Fewing. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and welcome to Kipas Education's first half fiscal year 2024 results presentation. I am Steve Fewing, founder and global CEO, and with me today is Peter Velarik, our CFO, and Ryan O'Hare, CEO, Asia Pacific. We are pleased to present the strong progress we have made throughout the first half of fiscal year 2024 and the confidence we have in the future. First, we'll give you a reminder of what Kipas Education does. Kipas Education stands at the forefront of revolutionizing education through online learning. Our key strategy involves forming strategic alliances with renowned universities, enabling us to support top-notch programs. We target critical fields with a spotlight on high-growth markets such as healthcare and the Asia Pacific region. Our mission addresses global skill gaps. By providing accessible and high-quality education, we empower individuals to thrive in their careers. Kipas Education is committed to making a lasting impact on the future workforce. What sets us apart is not just our commitment to education, but also our robust financial standing, ensuring sustained profitability. This solid foundation allows us to continue innovating and shaping the future of education. Whether you're an educator or a learner, Kipas Education is dedicated to propelling greatness. Well, let's turn to how we're achieving our longer-term priorities. Kipas maintains a laser focus on driving growth, profitability, and returns through a comprehensive strategic approach. First, optimizing our portfolio and investment. This involves a strategic reallocation of capital to enhance contribution margins. Simultaneously, Kipas executes growth plans for newer vintages while carefully exiting partnerships or programs that do not align with shared success of Kipas and its university partners. Second, continued healthcare expansion. Kipas actively expands its presence in the healthcare sector by fostering growth of existing products, particularly in nursing and social science fields. The organization is also diversifying its healthcare education platform with new offerings and extending its reach to clinical health programs in Australia. Third, APAC growth. We're leveraging established enterprise relationships. Kipas strategically expands its offering across online education platforms in Asia Pacific region. The organization remains committed to seeking new partnerships in Southeast Asia, further enhancing its growth prospects in this dynamic market. And finally, path to profitability. A pivotal aspect of Kipas strategy is a strong emphasis on cost management. The overarching goal is to continue our improvements in profitability with Adjusted EBITDA. This focus ensures a sustained and profitable trajectory, aligning closely with Kipas' dedication to financial sustainability. These interconnected strategies not only underscore Kipas' commitment to growth, profitability, and financial sustainability, but also disseminate a holistic approach that balances financial success with the fulfillment of its broader mission. These priorities are incorporated to deliver our mission. Kipas' strategic focus is positioned to make a meaningful social impact within the healthcare sector. The healthcare sector represents a $12 billion global market, and our concentration on leading innovation and delivery is poised to address persistent skill shortages, offering opportunities for both financial gains and positive social impact. The demand for healthcare professionals highlights a social need that Kipas is uniquely positioned to fulfill. One example of this is within nursing, with approximately 78,000 qualified nurses applicants not offered places in nursing schools in 2022, and around 100,000 registered nurses leaving the workforce due to stress, burnout, and retirements during COVID-19 pandemic, KeePass initiatives aim to bridge these gaps. KeePass response involves not only increasing program offerings and clinical placement spots, but also contributing to the social good by addressing shortages within healthcare. The identified gap presents a substantial market opportunity, but also showcases the organization's commitment to making a positive impact on the healthcare workforce. Highlighting KeePass achievements, such as significant revenue growth in healthcare programs and the successful delivery of over 24,000 clinical placements through partnerships with over 600 healthcare systems, underscores the organization's capability to generate returns while actively contributing to societal well-being. Now turning to our strategy in the APAC region. In the dynamic APAC region, KeePass continues to distinguish itself in the realm of online education innovation. Drawing on its strengths in student acquisition, a proven economic model, and robust partnerships, we are actively expanding existing programs. Additionally, KeePass is venturing into new offerings, particularly in high-demand healthcare verticals, signaling a strategic move as 36% of the APAC revenue now comes from healthcare programs. KeePass commitment to innovation extends beyond program expansion. The organization is driving transformational initiatives such as innovative platforms and student pathway programs. These forward-thinking models contribute to KeePass' position as a leader in the evolving landscape of online higher education. These strategic endeavors align with KeePass' mission to focus on markets where it can make a meaningful difference. By leveraging its strengths, KeePass is not only meeting the demands of the market, but is also actively creating positive transformations. This dual approach of expansion and innovation positions KeePass as a dynamic player in the APAC region, capable of driving meaningful impact in the education sector. Now handing over to Peter, who will go through our H1 results. Peter?
Thanks, Steve, and good morning to all. As Steve mentioned earlier, we are very pleased with our first half fiscal 2024 performance. As we disclosed today, the audited financial statements set forth in Form 10 we released today are revised financial statements as they contain certain immaterial revisions to the equivalent statements previously audited and released by the company to the ASX. These revisions were primarily related to timing differences from complex one-time transactions mostly associated with the IPO. Details of these immaterial revisions to the financial fiscal 2023 financial statements can be found in the Appendix 4B, which we also released today. Moving on to the results. Operationally, we saw continuing growth in enrollments driven by our strategic focus on the healthcare vertical across the globe and continued momentum in the APAC market, with expansion in both markets contributing strongly to overall growth. Now turning to the financial highlights of first half fiscal 2024. Revenue grew 15.3% year over year on a constant currency basis. This strong revenue growth exceeded the broader online program management industry growth, which we believe further validates our continued healthcare focus and APAC strategy. For the first half fiscal 2024, contribution margin was up $8.8 million year over year, with the overall margin percentage increasing by approximately 1,100 basis points to 27%. This reflects the recent vintages progressing through our proven unit economic model to maturity, offsetting the large number of programs we have signed recently that are in their deepest investment phase and the fiscal 2021 through fiscal 2024 vintages being very large vintages in terms of size and investment and expected steady state revenue. Adjusted EBITDA improved by $9.1 million, 133% year over year to positive $2.3 million. Recent vintages progressing through our proven unit economic model helped drive this improvement despite investments in the new vintages noted above and continued investment in our Southeast Asia operation. In addition, the continuing leverage on our corporate costs, which were flat year over year, also helped drive this improvement in profitability. These profitability results were also boosted by the previously disclosed transition programs, which generated revenue without material direct costs, which we'll go through in more detail shortly. We ended the first half fiscal 2024 with $41.7 million of cash on hand, which we expect to fully fund us through cash flow breakeven. This was driven in part by the efficiency of our investment in programs, which improved by $1 million year over year. Now let's take a deeper look at how our newer vintages are performing over time, which validates our strategic focus on healthcare and the APAC market. This slide is showing how each of our vintages have performed over the first 3 years of its respective life. As we have discussed in the past, our newer vintages have had the benefit of program selection insights provided by TPAP Edge and are much larger than historical vintages, with our newer vintages being bigger than all the pre-KeyPath Edge vintages combined. We continue to reallocate capital from some of our legacy vintages, where we see less demand, to our high-growth vintages in fiscal 2021 forward. These newer vintages are tracking well against our expectations. We expect these newer vintages to each reach $25 million to $35 million in steady-state annual revenue and to achieve 40 to 60% contribution margins in line with our unit economic model. Now, let's take a look at our overall revenue breakout by geography. As I mentioned earlier, our overall revenue has grown year over year by 15.3% on a constant currency basis in the first half of fiscal 2024. Since the first half of fiscal 2018, revenue has grown at a compound rate of 38%. This growth has been well diversified across our geographies. Of note on this slide is that we now report America and Europe region to include the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom, given our restructuring of our Canadian and UK operations. We believe this growth and global diversification positions us well as we focus on growing our healthcare business and APAC market leadership. As we can see on the next slide, in addition to being diversified across geographies, our revenue is well diversified across market verticals. I would like to focus your attention on the nursing and healthcare verticals on this chart, where you can see 52% compound growth over the past 5 years and 27.8% growth year over year. This is the result of our continuing focus on the healthcare vertical that Steve discussed earlier. Having revenue diversification by vertical and geography enables agility to pivot to the most in-demand verticals as we are doing with healthcare. As we'll see on the following slide, the growth in healthcare revenue is focused on our newer vintages. Focusing on the fiscal 2021, 2022, and 2023 vintages, which collectively have been in market for approximately 3 years, revenue grew by $11.3 million, or 48% year over year. The fiscal 2023 vintage is pacing slightly ahead of the fiscal 2022 vintage, which underpins future growth and profitability as these vintages reach maturity. As I noted earlier, these vintages are primarily focused on the healthcare vertical. Also, as I mentioned previously, these vintages are each expected to reach between $25 million and $35 million of annual revenue at maturity. Looking at the mature vintage group, which represents programs primarily in the business vertical that had their first student intake between fiscal 2015 and fiscal 2020, revenue declined as expected by approximately 12% in the first half of fiscal 2024. When adjusted for foreign exchange impacts and the net impact of previously announced transition programs, the decline is approximately 11%. So it is moderating to the expected levels we had previously disclosed. As previously discussed, this decline was driven by the softening enrollment environment in some non-healthcare verticals, as well as our own reallocation of capital to our newer, more in-demand programs, primarily in the healthcare vertical. Let's now look at our contribution margin performance. As I noted earlier, contribution margin improved by $8.8 million, or 95.5% over first half fiscal 2023, to $18.1 million, or 27%. This was impacted by transition programs that generated revenue without material corresponding direct costs. Excluding the transition programs, the overall contribution margin for the first half fiscal 2024 would have been 22% versus the 27% reported on this slide. This represents a 600% basis point improvement year over year. This improvement also reflects recent vintages progressing through our proven unit economic model, offsetting investments in the newer vintages and continued investment in our Southeast Asia operation. We expect this margin improvement to continue over time as the newer vintages we discussed previously reach maturity and generate margins of 40 to 60%. Let's now look at our contribution margin by vintage. Despite the previously discussed 12% decline in mature vintage revenue year over year, our mature vintages continue to generate margins in excess of 40%, proving our ability to manage our costs and the overall profitability of our business model. The mature vintage contribution margin was impacted by transition programs that generated revenue without material corresponding direct costs. Excluding the transition programs, the mature vintage contribution margin would have been 42% in the first half fiscal 2024, versus the 49% reported on this slide, so it's essentially flat year over year. Our newer vintages continue to progress through the unit economic model as expected. As I noted earlier, we expect our newer vintages to be much larger than our historical vintages, and we are excited to see them progressing through the unit economic model faster than our legacy vintages. Now let me turn it back to Steve, who will discuss our strong financial foundation and outlook.
Thank you, Peter. As highlighted throughout this presentation, KeePass stands on solid financial ground and possesses a promising outlook. We are well positioned as a leading, growing online education company, profitable on an ongoing basis. Our robust balance sheet with $41.7 million in cash is expected to fund us to cash flow breakeven. We continue to expect future vintages will achieve $25 to $35 million in revenue at maturity. We are strategically expanding our offerings through revenue and margin-enhancing online education platforms. Our diverse portfolio is both non-cyclical, with a focus on healthcare, and counter-cyclical, especially in the business and STEM fields. Driven by these strong first half results and the momentum in the growth and profitability of our business, we now expect to be at the upper end of our FY24 revenue guidance range of $130 to $135 million. And we are raising our adjusted EBITDA guidance to $0 to $2 million of adjusted EBITDA, both on a constant currency basis, and expect continued improvement in positive adjusted EBITDA into FY25. The guidance anticipates the ending of revenue from some transition programs in H2 FY24. With our track record of revenue growth, the largest vintages with the strongest programs in our history moving through our proven unit economic model and the profitability that this is driving, we remain confident of delivering long-term, sustainable, and profitable revenue growth. Thank you all for participating, and we are now open for Q&A.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question via the phone, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Alan Franklin with Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Hope you're well, and thank you for your time. A couple of quick ones, please. Just on the incremental revenue strength implied through the guidance change, just a bit of detail as to where that's coming from, please. Is it sort of broad-based? Is it from a specific cohort within healthcare, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, it's a broad basis. I mean, we talked about our continued growth in healthcare. You know, we grew over 27% in our healthcare, so we expect those continued healthcare programs to continue to be strong. Obviously, we continue to have our enterprise relationships, our APAC regions, and continue to add programs and growth in that area. So not in one particular area. I think a lot of the focus and the priorities we talked about earlier in the presentation are just showing up in our revenue growth.
Sure. And then just a line of questioning around student acquisition costs, please. Just noting direct marketing was flat, half and half. Perhaps just delving into, are you finding there's some better economics there, or how have you been able to drive a flat outcome given top line growth, please?
Yeah, I mean the one of the big drivers is obviously program selection and picking and launching the right programs. You know, so a lot of our programs we've launched have been in the healthcare vertical, with there's a positive supply demand imbalances and kind of more interest in programs like that. And so, the acquisition cost is really a reflection of going into programs where there's, strong demand and strong interest in the programs and programs that are really competitive in the market. And so we feel like, and also just getting efficiencies over time with our marketing spend and being able to kind of drive additional growth.
Yeah, great. And perhaps you may well have already answered my next one, but just to sort of layer in a question just around the health of the consumer in the US, obviously student debt repayments have kicked off, and that's sort of seasoning through for, I guess, a six-month period now. Just double-checking that you haven't sort of seen any sort of change in the US in terms of how potential students are sort of thinking about going off and doing study, healthcare in particular.
Yeah, no, I think it's no change at all. Bear in mind, majority of our students are at the postgraduate area, so most of the debt discussion has been more kind of on the undergraduate side, and the vast majority, almost all of our programs are in the postgrad, which these students are already coming in with an undergraduate degree, and so it really that part of it's probably pretty strong for us.
Helpful. Thanks.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We'll just pause momentarily for any more questions to enter the queue. There are no further questions at this time, and I'll hand the conference back to Mr. Farin for closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much for everybody. Before I close off, just want to bring a personal thanks to all of the KeePath employees across the globe. It's been a tremendous year, so far, and we have some of the greatest KeePath Nurse employees I've ever worked with, and so I want to give a shout out to our employees and what they do for the university partners and certainly their students. Lastly, we're obviously excited about these results, and we're even more excited about the future with our updated guidance and in terms of the revenue growth and also from an adjusted EBITDA. So we really have found a nice sweet spot in terms of where we think the growth is going, and KeePath is well positioned to capture that market share. So thank you very much and have a great day.